Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Conversations Against Living Miserably, a podcast where we try to find solace in a world where our brains are usually against us.
My name is Aaron Gillis, and each week I'll be joined by...
me, Lauren Patterson. Each week we chat to different guests about how they try and live their life without misery, but we try and do it with a little bit of laughter, because otherwise that sounds like a pretty gloomy idea for a podcast.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Dave, the TV channel, and Calm, the campaign against living miserably.
Morning, and welcome back to a podcast that raises money for charity by talking to funny people about how miserable everything is. I mean, the podcast is a lot more nuanced than that, but I have to try and sum it up in a single sentence, so here we are. This week's guest is Sophie Duker. Sophie is a stand-up comedian and writer who, in 2019, was nominated for Best Newcomer at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for her show Venus, and has been on Mott the Week, 8 Out of 10 Cats, and Frankie Boyle's New World Order. Today we talk to Sophie about stress, making time for yourself, and potato waffles. A lot of good potato waffle chat in this episode, if you're a potato waffle fan. If you could like, subscribe, rate, review, and do all that jazz, that would be absolutely wonderful. And whilst you're doing that, here is Lauren and myself bothering Sophie Duker for a while.
And what, Aaron?
No, I can't stop it. It's so nice.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Conversations Against Living Miserably, where we are joined by the one, the only, there may be more, but not as good, Sophie Duker.
Yay! There may be more, but they're not as good. I'm so pleased to be here representing Sophie Duker's Everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm the spokeswoman.
Excellent.
So you came
Excellent.
To the right gal. How are you two?
No one ever asks how we are.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's really weird.
Sorry. No.
Oh, God. How am I?
Why are you asking me?
That's a conversation for after the podcast.
Okay. All right.
I nearly bought purple hair dye in the break, so I don't know if that means I'm good or bad.
Oh.
That sounds like maybe I'm bad.
No, I didn't mean it.
I was looking at
Oh, wait, is it for your general life?
Yeah. I was looking at the coloured hair dye, and I was like, oh, maybe I could put a bit of colour in my hair. And I got as far as getting to the till, and I was like, sleep on this decision. Maybe this is a breakdown decision. No. Do not dye your hair purple. I'm going to have purple hair tomorrow.
You're going to have purple hair tomorrow.
Yeah. How's your mental health, Lauren? Listening. I got purple hair.
Can you not tell? Yep. I changed my hair recently and I feel weird about it.
Really?
But I mean, I'm going to change it back, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I never have for very long. but I was like, oh, who is this? Who? How does she feel? Why does she have this hair? Oh, God. So, yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Every time I feel low, I want to shave my head. And I don't know where the feeling comes from. Also, I've got a really lumpy head, so I look really weird and gross. Anyway, sorry.
Yes. Get your head bumps out.
First question is, when was the last time you felt calm?
Oh, the last time I felt calm, I think was... the last time I felt calm was probably last week. I was on a boat.
Ooh.
I know, very fancy. I was on a boat. I was on a cruise ship that I'd been performing on. I was off the coast of Porto Venere, which is a place in Italy that I didn't know about before. I was off the coast of Porto Venere. I was on a boat. It was a boat with 700 lesbians on it. And one of the women on the boat was a seer, and she had just communed with my dead ancestors. Is this relatable?
Wow.
Yes.
You had me at 700 lesbians on a boat, to be honest. That was
sold. That's when I last felt calm. But this was after it happened, and then I cried, and then like briefly I felt calm.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. We need to get a boat.
I was thinking more of a seer than the boat.
Yeah, I don't know if she'd call herself a seer. I mean, yeah, what did she say she was? An Intuit? It sounds a bit like Inuit, which is, I think, why I avoided saying it. Even though Inuit is the correct thing to say.
Yeah.
But she was not an Inuit. She
Are you quite a spiritual California. Person when it comes to this
no,
sort of thing?
Oh, okay. No, I just met her on the boat.
You couldn't escape.
I've only been to a Inuit once, and a festival in Australia when I was 18, and she told me that me and my girlfriend were going to break up, so me and my girlfriend were there together, and then we left, and 2 weeks later we broke up.
Wow.
So I believe it.
I would quite like, we had this guy at uni, and he was fantastic, and he would hold your hands and look in your eyes, and he would tell you things, and we were all like, yeah, whatever. And then there was one lad, and he did it to him on a night out, and this was quite one of the like cool laddie lads, very nice boy, and his face just went white as a sheet, and he was like, how do you know those things? How could you possibly know those things? So then I went up to him drunk on a night out, and I was like, do me. And it was everything he said. And I didn't know him particularly well. I knew him from like nights out. He knew like things and bits about my character and stuff. And I was like, this is weird. And I walked away from it, and I was like, kind of felt good, but at the same time also was like, do that.
Yeah,
and then he disappeared at the end of first year.
What, in a puff of smoke?
Yeah, I was like, was he ever really there? Did I imagine him? Does he just appear to freshers to guide them?
Oh my God.
We will get back to interviewing you in a second, but I've got another story. I used to be a theatre technician, and I was doing sound for a gig where this medium came on stage and he did the thing of like, does anyone have a relative beginning with a G and all that sort of stuff? Mm-hmm. And it's quite random. And he was doing this talk with this woman and he said, so I've got the name Josephine in my head. And she went, no idea who that is. And he kept going. He was like, it's definitely Josephine. Mm-hmm. And he lost it and told her that she was wrong and she was a liar and that she should fuck off, and then moved on to the next person and lost the entire audience.
Wow.
It was amazing. Just like had a complete, like, just
wow.
Really...
Wow.
So, yeah, maybe. I'm on the fence when it comes to mediums and seers.
Yeah.
But do you think she was a liar?
I think...
Like, why was he so convinced?
I don't
know. Do you think
know.
He had, like, underhand information? And
Maybe, like, one of the spirits is just next to him trying to take the piss and really just kind of show him up.
Psych.
I mean, don't shout it. Don't shout a woman.
No, especially if she's recently lost someone.
Yeah.
I think that's just a general rule of thumb.
Real for life.
When was the first time you became aware of mental health being a thing, be it in a positive or negative way?
Ah, sorry, I'm making very crazy noises. I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm not sure. I remember watching the film Girl Interrupted. I don't know when that was released. Obviously, when you like grow up and learn to speak, there are words like psycho or you're crazy and stuff like that, but I don't have any people in my immediate family, I would say, who suffer from severe mental health conditions. I do have like some very close relatives who have like a neurodivergent, like autistic and stuff like that, but not people who are diagnosed with stuff like being like bipolar or like like, even, I'm sure, there are, I don't know, like, my family don't really speak about people having depression, even though I'm pretty sure that's a thing that's happened. So I think I probably, as like a young teenager, probably doing stuff, watching, maybe not Girl Interrupted itself, but watching, like, yes, in the outside world, it felt like a very outside thing for me.
Yeah.
So it was probably like in adolescence when I was kind of like, oh, this is a thing that people talk about, mm-hmm. or is that is affecting people.
Mm. Mm. It's quite difficult. It's quite weird, isn't it? It's like, it is not anything that's really brought up as kids,
yeah.
ever. It's always, everyone we've asked, it's always kind of a teenager into kind of early 20s thing. Yeah. You never really learn about it at
all. This is why I think it's good that things are changing, because my nephew's primary school, and it's a rough school. Sorry, any of my old teachers who are listening, but we are, aren't we? We're a rough bunch. And they've got like a counsellor for the kids at the school, and obviously they don't know it's a counsellor. I'll not use that real name, but they don't know it's a counsellor. They're like, oh, it's Mary. We just go see Mary. And I'm like, isn't that nice to teach kids from a young age? Like, it's cool to talk about your feelings. Mm. Like, never. And I want to say it wasn't that long ago I went to primary school, but it was. But even still, like, for things to change in a relatively modern space of time.
I've just remembered that we did have, well, I mean, like, when I was at school and it was again, like, young teenage, I think one girl lost her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And also, oh my God, I'm just remembering loads of stuff. I repress loads. But also, like, a lot of girls had, like, eating disorders, and so then they would see, like, a counsellor as well. I just remembered that one of my friends died, and I was like, why don't we get counselling? But it was because she was no longer at school. So that's why we didn't get
funding.
I was like, oh yeah, all that stuff. But yeah, I guess around the time when you start having, like, growing up and having, well, not start having eating disorder, but like when that kind of comes into your world, but it's kind of, if you're not directly affected, then you're like, oh, this person's lost someone, they're going on from doing that stuff, and it's not a conversation that happens. Even then, if it's someone in the class that's like going through something, they get the special treatment and they get taken off to
and it'll be like, well, such and such is having a hard time or having a struggle, and you're just like, okay, I'm gonna go back to not caring because I am an ignorant teenager. Oh wow. Are you good at, like, being able to sort of keep in check and, like, on top of your mental health in general?
I think I have been. I think I'm getting less good at it. I think I used to be very, like, get things done and not necessarily be in touch with my feelings. But now that I'm, like, busy, I mean, not that, I mean, when I was a kid, I had places to be. but now I think, like, life seems, like, very busy and chaotic. And if you're not careful, you just end up saying yes to too many things, or feeling like you're not saying yes to enough things, or, like, lots of ideas. So I think, like, now life feels, like, kind of unmanageable sometimes, and I'm less good at being, like, just get on, get to that play date, just keep walking. So yeah, I think it's something that I'm now more conscious of trying to manage, whereas before I was just like, I'm just me. And I probably wouldn't notice the signs of being stressed out when they happened. I'd just be like, oh, I was, that was weird how I just couldn't get out of bed. Let's go to the club.
Do you take any, like, time for yourself, or are you kind of, do you thrive in being busy?
Why do you have to be like that?
No, I'll
Speak
for the rest of the podcast.
I find it quite hard to take time for myself, but I do it in a very feast and famine way. So I'm like, I'm gonna do that, and I'm not gonna do anything else. I find it hard, I think, to have a balanced time. So I'll be like, oh, look at all, let's get all this self-care in.
Yeah.
Or have, like, a little holiday, which I did after the Edinburgh Fringe, which was nice. But that was kind of isolation. In my normal life, I think sometimes I'm subject to, like, the whims of what happens, and not great at having boundaries. Like, say if someone else, like, really close to me is having an emotional time, I'm like, oh God, I guess I'm just gonna feel weird and uneasy and terrible forever. So yeah, I think boundaries would be good.
I'm bad with boundaries. I'm really bad. I'm bad at, like, I think I try and get too involved with other people sometimes. I like to fix.
Oh.
And then I feel like maybe sometimes I don't set up enough boundaries. So I think I'm guilty of sharing to the, not necessarily the wrong people, but in the wrong places. I need to put up some walls.
Put up some walls.
Yeah. But not too many walls. That's another problem.
What kind of self-care do you bring into your day-to-day to make sure that you are kind of grounded and looking, like, I suppose looking after yourself is the wrong term, but just making sure that you're on an even keel?
I think that I should sleep more. Like, when I was at uni, there was always, like, a guy that was just like, you'd not be able to get him up, and he'd always just, and I'd just be like, look at this, like, you know, ridiculous, like, I don't know, I felt like one, I was like, you're missing things if you're asleep, and also I was just like, has no one ever made you get up for anything? But I just, like, now thinking being able to sleep that long, I just think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you be asleep all the time? And also not really caring if you, like, miss an alarm. Like, maybe not good for, like, everyday stuff, but I remember there was always someone who was like, we're not not going to see him. Like, he's, if there's no one like physically there to get him up, he's not going to respond to his phone. I think being able to like self-care, maybe this shouldn't be a self-care thing, but saying no to things that you don't have to do, or just not really caring if like the phone is ringing or something's happening or if there's a party, is good. And just being able to switch off and be like, to like flop. Something that I haven't been able to do for a little while is like, oh, this sounds gross, but it's like go for a run. I really like running. What am I running from? I don't know, but I love running because it's like, it is just really easy. Like, I don't have to go to a class. Like, no one's really judging me because like you're going like even very slowly, like slightly faster than everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then it makes me feel like I've done something amazing when I've gone for a run. I don't really like gyms.
No, I don't.
I like the idea of going to a class and being like, hey guys, and they're like wrapping up my boxing things. But then it's like all the anxiety of like who you're going to partner up with and people not wanting to be. I'm just like, just run. So when I leave here, I'm going to run. And I like cooking and spending time with nice people. Can I do all those things, please? This is fine. It's okay. I've got a tea. It's nice people.
I think things like cooking and running, they come up quite a bit. And I think it is because it's that focus. Mm. And there's an end result. Whereas like, if you're like, oh, I need to write this thing, you're like, you can put that off forever. But when you're cooking, you're like, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And when you're running, you're like, I got to stop at some point.
Yeah. Oh, no. One thing I think I like about cooking is that, not to brag, but I'm really good at cooking. Mm-hmm. But like, it's in no way part of my like work or like stuff I get paid for or people even assessing me for. I just get to like make nice food for myself or other people or try out like different ingredients and stuff. And so there's like real like joy in it because it's not stressful, but it is like, it isn't boring and it isn't just like flopping and not doing anything. Yeah. So it's kind of like, that's cool.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever go to, like, if you say if you're feeling really down and really like blah, what would your like go to comfort food? This meal is gonna, sorry to Ed and James if this has become an off menu, but I'm talking about food specifically in relation to depression. So
whereas you're only talking about it kind of in a sideways way. Oh my god, a comfort food for me to make?
Yes.
Okay, so I think I don't have a food that pops to mind, but a thing that I think my housemates were like, this is always happening if you're in the kitchen, is that I just start caramelising some onions. I just love caramelising onions because it takes a while. Like, and then you like figure out what you're going to make with the rest of it. And also, if you caramelise, okay, so my friend, I think like, it's just,
I don't
sort
think
of
I know how to caramelise onions.
I mean, there are different techniques.
Oh.
Wow. She sent me a recipe for 12-hour caramelised onions.
Oh, wow.
Which I was like, not with like a slow cooker, like on the hob, which I was like, this is, you know, I was going to say madness, but I was like, maybe that's not the right term.
Absolutely fine.
And it's also probably not accurate. But I was just like, this, it sounds incredible, but you get this like, if you like caramelise a red onion, you can turn really excited, like a sort of like the jet, like it's sort of like just falling, like when it's proper. properly. But you can also caramelize onions in like 15, 10 minutes, kind of. They make everything better. You can put them in noodles, you can put them on a sandwich, put them in like a base, and they just make everything like sweeter and better. Like that's the foundation of everything, caramelized onions.
Just that, start with
okay,
that.
Okay, but yeah, less relatable than the lesbian cruise of the sea.
What's yours if you have to make something?
What I asked for last night, because I was feeling a bit down, and Matt was like, I'll cook like whatever you want. And I like a jack of potato with loads of butter and tuna, but with vinegar.
I don't
have tuna mayo, I have tuna vinegar. And I will have literally, like, it is gross how much vinegar I'll have. Like, I'm like an animal. Matt will stop and I'll be like, he's like, no, I've already put so much vinegar on. I'm like,
no cheese?
He included cheese last night and I was not happy. Because that was not on the wish list, but I thought, well, he has put them in the oven, so go on.
Yeah, he's made
treat yourself, grate some cheese. And I think because when I was a kid, that's what we'd sometimes have on like a weekend in front of like Saturday night telly. Oh. We'd have like jack of potatoes and like sort of like little nibbles and stuff like that. I think to me that's the food where I'm like, it's easy, it doesn't require much effort from me. Put a potato in the oven and then this nice warm buttery thing with loads of acid tuna on it. Acid
that's
tuna.
Nice. Things that are hot that you can hold. I mean, you're not going to hold a potato, are you going
to? I do. Just you close to me. Fix me, please, carbohydrates. What's yours?
Bird's eye potato waffles.
Oh, anything on them?
Curveball, Marmite sandwich.
Oh, gross. Yeah. Oh, my God, you guys are...
Fuck off judging me for me tuna.
Are you... Did I say something? You pulled the face.
I saw the face.
Yeah, Marmite sandwich with a Bird's eye potato waffle.
So is it just you like zhuzh Marmite and then squish them together?
Heck yeah. Tuna vinegar, come on.
You're like a really depressed Paddington. Instead of like a nice marmalade sandwich, you're like, no, I'm just going to put some Marmite between some waffles and think about what I've done.
Oh, God. I mean, you do you.
Yeah.
I guess if you like Marmite, and that's a fundamental thing, then probably that's not gross. But almost any filling between two potato waffles that was like gooey, I'd think
I'd
find.
How do you hold it, though? Is the waffles hot?
You eat it quick enough that it doesn't matter. Eat it like a duck. Maybe this is... This has been a big cry for help for years that I've been doing this to myself.
You've been making them really ostentatiously in front of people.
Why are your hands always burned, Darren?
No reason I don't want to talk about it. Should probably start talking. Stop talking.
I think we very much are talking about mental health, yeah? Mr. Marmite Waffle.
Thanking you. During Edinburgh, because you are so busy all the time, was there anything that you do for yourself then to just kind of make sure that you are?
Because
I find that like Edinburgh's the one time where people just forget to look after themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's predictable, but I cooked and I ran.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I made these, like, I think maybe three times. I made like a big brunch for like everyone in my flat.
Oh, nice.
Which is really nice. And I really liked doing it. And also it's because, I don't know, I have a real mum thing. If I really liked, I'd just be like with the pancakes or something, or like sorting something out, and no one would be talking to me. Because it'll be like, yeah, great, we're getting breakfast, like having a chat. And I'd be like, it's fine. So like, I could just make these pancakes.
Yeah.
I made myself an unpaid servant for other people. Oh, and the reason that I ran in Edinburgh, the reason I run specifically in Edinburgh, because running in Edinburgh is horrible because you bump into other comedians and it rains. And I mean, it's beautiful, but it's horrible. It's because there are so many great dogs in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes, yeah. Please. Just walking. Like, there was actually less dog than there have been in previous years. I don't know.
It was a low dog year. In Edinburgh this year.
Probably Brexit.
It's too expensive to take dogs this year.
That is true.
I just love that idea of, like, I don't know why I'm having a bit of an existential crisis over this one, but of, like, outside of work and monetizing your talent and stuff like that, of having something that you're good at that you can be proud of, like cooking. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've got anything like that. Do you have anything that you do outside of work that you're like, I know I'm good at this and I can be proud of it at the finished result?
Like, again, I'm not great at cooking, but now, don't mean to brag, I got a boyfriend. You know, I've talked about him for two series. but I like having someone to cook for, so I quite like that, because then I'll cook for myself and be like, this is fine. But he's like, oh no, this is really nice. I'm all right at cooking. But I'm quite like, I'm gonna say the word crafty, but not in a like, I'm gonna steal your things. Not in that kind of
way. I'm being evil.
Like, I love like making stuff. Yeah. I'm quite like sort of, so times like birthdays and Christmas, I think I'm very good at being thoughtful and putting thought into things. And I quite like that. That makes me feel nice. Like my mum for Christmas. Hi, mum. She's listening. She liked my coat that I'd just bought and I saw it on sale. So I went and got her like a similar one. and I've never felt more excited to give someone a present. And I think I'm quite, I know that's probably not something to be proud of being good at, but I think I'm just good at like being thoughtful and
that's a great thing, knowing when
people need a treat, being like hand making things. I remember when I left school and I made like collages of pictures of me and all my friends and gave them like that. They've probably burned them by now, but
oh, you're really nice.
You're great.
That's really lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm shit. I don't have anything like that.
Good at other making other people feel good. Might not be a great skill, but if you want a collage, I'll do you a collage.
Should we play some anxiety bingo?
Would you rather?
Yes.
Absolutely.
This is a good one. This would probably make you freak out, Aaron.
Oh, God.
Would you rather worry you've said the wrong thing in a conversation or worried you've not said enough in the conversation?
Oh, wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a normal conversation, if it's not like a paddle show, then I'll be like, oh, God, I've got to have said the right thing. But I think I'm always like, what have I said?
Mm-hmm.
Especially as sometimes I'm very like unplanned and I'm like, oh, maybe, I kind of tie myself in knots of having said the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same. But I'll think about it for days afterwards as well. It just won't leave my brain.
Really?
Yeah. Because when I first met you downstairs, the first thing I said was, yeah, it's been a bit of a long day because we've done quite a few of these. So my brain went, oh, God, now she thinks that like she shouldn't be here. And I've been thinking about it ever since. And I will think about it for at least two more days as well. I'll just be cringing. And it's just that's how like my brain latches onto those stupid little thoughts.
Should I tell you the thing that I've been worrying about since we met downstairs?
Yep.
Okay, so I didn't look up what the address was, and then they were like, oh, where are you going? And I was like, I don't know if it's the name of the company or the name of the building, so I just said Lauren, because I saw her yesterday, and then I was like, you'll be like, oh, you're going to do a podcast with just Lauren. So I thought you'd be really pissed off at me being like, I'm here to see Lauren.
Yeah,
so I'm
Lauren's the moneymaker in this situation. I just hang around and make stupid quip.
We did see four dogs before, though. That was fun.
Well, yeah, it has been a good day.
Yeah.
You saw four dogs for this podcast?
That would be amazing.
They
were downstairs,
and Aaron was like, you can go wait in the booth if you want, and I was like, I'm gonna look at the dogs. And I just
were they big dogs or little dogs?
There's one big boy and he was excited, he was having a great time. And then I thought there was two little boys, but there was three, and one had just blended into the other one, and it was the greatest reveal of all time.
Oh my god. That sounds fantastic.
I was like, yes, showstopper. I'm the opposite, by the way. I used to worry, well, I do worry that I've said the wrong thing, but someone made a comment a while ago, 5 years to be precise or something, and now I worry I haven't said enough. I think I've spoken about this in the past, and I think I made you cut it out, but I'm ready to talk now. I met a friend's girlfriend when they just started going out years ago, like probably 3-4 years ago, and she commented on a video of me recently saying how rude I was. So obviously instantly I was like, oh my God, worried I'd said the wrong thing. I was like, what? So I reached out to him and I was like, if I've upset her, if I've said the wrong thing, because I've seen it, I've seen the comment. And he was like, oh no, it was that you didn't say enough and she thought you were quite rude because of it. So now ever since then I'm worried that I don't say enough and that people think I'm rude because I don't participate in the conversation enough. So weird. It originally started as like, oh my God, I've said the wrong, I've accidentally said something, or I've made a joke and she's been like, well, I don't know her. And when you're doing like trying to do the file effects through your head of what did I say, then it turned out it wasn't anything I said, it was that I didn't say enough. And now I have this constant sort of thing in the back of my head. I'll be in a conversation, I'm like, when was the last time you spoke? Oh my God, they think you're rude. Oh my God, they think you're so bored. And then I'll just be like, mangoes. And everyone's like, oh, everyone's like, why
she contributed. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
She wants those mangoes. I still think, I used to feel like that about some people, but I think it's always because they made me feel a bit insecure, like they were very cool or very like beautiful or something. But I have felt like that, and I felt like that a little bit this weekend, where for some reason I decided to go and hang out with my ex and his new girlfriend.
Ooh.
But they live in France because they are French, and I think that because I'm insecure about speaking French badly, I obviously won't say that much, but I think they'll be like, oh, she's not very interesting, or she's not very friendly. So I try and really overcompensate by being like, talking all about the discotheque, swimming pool, and like what I do on the weekends. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
We've got about 5 minutes left.
Our final question is, if you could go back to your younger self and give yourself some advice on mental health or living without misery, what would you tell yourself?
Oh,
I would tell my younger self that I do know what I'm going to say for this, but I just don't want it to sound too dark. I think
that I would say that sometimes you're the best person to know what really happened and how you felt about it. Mm-hmm. I think that there was when I was little, I spent some time away from my parents, and I was also coincidentally had a very emotionally turbulent time where I had lots of tantrums, and there was one time when I didn't eat. But I think my family either didn't understand it or just thought it was just some weird behavior that I was having. Mm-hmm. Whenever when I've spoken about it, people about it as an adult, they're like, oh, that sounds traumatizing. And I was like, no, it was a fun time. It was a funny story. That time when I just didn't eat any food until my dad came back. So. I think it's sometimes people will tell you what an emotion is or tell you how you should feel about something. If you know that you feel a certain kind of way, it's okay to feel that way and not mm-hmm. to have adopt someone else's narrative if it's not something that you believe is true.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a lovely
really
one.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Lovely.
We hope you can take something from this podcast away with you in your day-to-day life. Whatever situation you're in, you're not by yourself. We can share our stories, share our experiences, we can help each other know that things do get better.
That's another episode completed. Thank you to Sophie for letting us bother her for a bit. Thank you to Lauren as well, obviously. Thank you to Dave for letting us make this podcast. And thank you to Calm for all the amazing work they do. And don't forget, you can find out more about them or donate some money as well if you're feeling saucy. By going to www.thecalmzone.net. And until then, that's it. Bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got 6 comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is...
I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.